This is James Manross of the Oral History Department of Youngstown State University, and the date is December 10th, 1975. Today we're interviewing Mr. Warren Williamson, founder and president of WKBN Broadcasting Company. Mr. Williamson, are you originally from the Youngstown area?
Yes, I am from the Youngstown area, and my family has been in the Youngstown area since 1800.
Mm-hmm. What prompted you to start or decide to go into the radio business?
Well, that's a long story, but I'll try to give you as much of the history at this point as I can. After World War I, I was a radio operator in the Signal Corps at that time, and subsequent to this, I returned home and was married to a girl, Isabel Denio. It's a long story to the point of when WKBN got started, but to brief it as much as possible, I associated myself with a man by the name of Creed Corpenning shortly after I was married, and at this time radio was in its earliest stages, and we organized a company to do radio service. We were servicing the radio sets of people around the town who at this time had the first of the vacuum tube receivers. And this was just subsequent to the time when people used Galena detectors for receiving radio broadcasts. When I say radio broadcasts now, this is before the day of television, and in the very earliest days of broadcasting as we knew it in those times. In the course of the years in the radio service business, we wanted to publicize our business endeavor. And at one point, I said to Creed Corpenning, who was then my associate in this service business, why don't we go into the business of broadcasting and people will think if we're capable of running a broadcasting station that we certainly ought to be capable of repairing their radio receivers in their homes. Now, this led to my application for a license to operate a broadcasting station, and we went on the air after converting an amateur radio wireless station for broadcasting purposes. We went on the air in the latter part of August or the early part of September in 1926 with 7.5 watts of power, and the transmitter was located in my residence on a sewing room on the second floor and back over the back porch. as I say, it was 7.5 watts of power. And in late August or the early part of September, we put it on the air, and formally put it on the air on September the 26th, 1926. The first broadcasts were from the living room of my home at 26 Auburndale Avenue. And many of these broadcasts were from Edison phonograph records, or Victor records, which were available at that time. Gene Murphy, who used to be with the Youngstown Police Department, was quite a good vocalist, and he entertained with his singing. Walter Kaufman, then, and in Youngstown, was the announcer at the time. And we pursued the idea of publicizing our radio repair service. Subsequent to this, and following the initial broadcast of September 26th, 1926, we broadcast the election returns from the living room of my home, sponsored by the Youngstown Vindicator. At this time, the Vindicator gave us the election returns by telephone from their downtown office, and we received these on a phone that, well, as a matter of fact, it was located in the bathroom of my home, and then we carried the returns down to the living room and broadcast them. This was one of the first broadcasts we had. In November of that year, and I think it was a Thanksgiving game between Rayon and South, which in those days was quite an affair, we moved the transmitter, which was 7.5 watts of power and could easily be removed, to the second floor of Rayon School, where we installed it temporarily, and we broadcast direct from the sidelines of the football game that was being played at Rayon Stadium on Thanksgiving Day. The next broadcast of any importance, other than the usual phonograph records that we would play, was at the annual radio show, which at that time was held in the Fitch Garage at the corner of Wick Avenue and Commerce Street. This radio show was on the second floor of this new building, and the show was sponsored by Arthur Brock, who then had a radio store on Phelps Street near the old Ritter Meyer Company building, or in the floor below the Ritter Meyer Company building. This broadcast covered a number of evenings, and there was a bandstand on the second floor built by Mr. Brock, in which a local orchestra performed. We broadcast the music of the orchestra and displayed our transmitter equipment down there. The transmitter again was the small 7.5 watt transmitter that we had used previously. We moved it down there as a temporary affair, of course, and we had one idea, and that was that we ought to increase the power to 50 watts. But in those days, as far as we were concerned, there wasn't too much money in the bank account, and changing the transmitter to 50 watts was a considerable endeavor on our part. In those days, we didn't work for money. We worked because it was a hobby and for the love of it all. This is the story of the beginning of WKBN. At this point, just subsequent to that, we moved this small transmitter to the Central YMCA building, which was then under the operation of Leonard T. Skaggs. And Mr. Skaggs felt that his morning altar service and the setting up exercises of his athletic department should be broadcast for the benefit of Youngstown people. He also felt that it would be nice for the YMCA to have a broadcast station that might broadcast the meetings of the Lions Club or other meetings that might be held in the YMCA, as this seemed to be the one central point where most activities took place in Youngstown in those early days. With Mr. Skaggs' invitation, we moved the transmitter to the YMCA and installed it on the third floor in a front room, which Mr. Skaggs was willing to devote for the purpose of broadcasting. And we were to render service to the Y in return for the rent of the property. As I said previously, in those days we had no money. We worked for love, and for years we ran the operation, and it survived primarily because Creed Corpenning, who was my associate in the repair business, and myself were willing to work without compensation, and so it was a matter of getting up in the morning, being there at 7:30, putting on the devotional services and the setting up exercises, which were announced by various members of the YMCA, and I think the Federated Churches were responsible for the broadcast of the altar service.
At this time, did you have any news broadcasts?
In those days, the situation with news was completely different than it is today. There were two primary news services in the days of 1926, and the newspaper had both of them. We did put on some news, but not as you know it today. The first news that we had was given to us by the telegram. The telegram used to bring a copy from its teletype, the news bulletins, to us in the YMCA in the morning, and I think it was 8 o'clock, if I recall, that we had the news. And we read the copy that was given to us from the telegram, and the telegram was compensated by the publicity which we gave it as a supplier of the news. Later, of course, news developed as broadcasting developed, and other news services came into the field, and eventually we joined the Columbia Network, that is the CBS network as you know it today. It was a radio network, of course, then, which still exists, and we got news from then, also news from the Youngstown Telegram. Later, as it developed, we took on news ourselves from the United Press. And news, as we know it today, in those days was quite different than it is at this particular time.
How long were you on the air a day?
Well, during our programming, we tried to occupy as much time as possible. We would be on the air for a few hours in the morning. We had to share time with a station in Columbus, Ohio, and the result of it was we were not a full-time operation. This is a long, long story and more than I could recite at this point. We were on the air in the early days, now and then, and when it was convenient, usually in the morning for the YMCA and then at the dinner hour for the people at home. We did play phonograph records, and frequently we had piano music by various people. I recall in those days, oftentimes I would run around the corner to the music store to get the girl who played the piano for the popular music end of the music store to come over to the station and give us some programming in a piano recital of some sort. So that our programming then had to do with the interviewing of people, phonograph records, and perhaps piano or local orchestra work.
What was the initial public reaction when you first went on the first couple years?
Well, public reaction in the early days was very good. Everybody thought that Youngstown ought to have a broadcasting station. We were the first to go on the air in September. Later, another station came into being, which was owned, I think, by the Yaw Battery Company. And Harry Warner, who was in the music store at the time, was interested with others. Their operation failed, however, and they ceased to do business after, I don't recall a length of time, but several months, and they ceased to do business. We then went on with our programming, and again I say, if it hadn't been for the YMCA in those days, who provided the light and heat and a place to do business, and if it wasn't for the fact that we were willing to work for love, so to speak, in the development of this business, we would not have survived ourselves.
With the 7-watt transmitter, how far did that cover?
7.5 watts of power in those days gave coverage to the immediate Youngstown area, and I would say that might be limited to 10 miles at the most.
Were there many other radio stations in Ohio at this time?
Yes, there were other stations, primarily Cleveland stations and Columbus and such things as that. The major markets had stations, and the smaller markets didn't have.
Could the people around here get like Cleveland and Columbus at that time?
Oh yes, they had good reception in the early days until so many stations got on the air. And we were one of them that got into the business of broadcasting as it developed. In those days, there became a serious heterodyne problem of interference because stations did not maintain their frequency. And radio in those days was subject to whistles and howls and heterodyne.
Where did you eventually make the transmitter permanent fixture?
Well, we were permanent in the YMCA for a number of years, and I'm not prepared to tell you now how many that was because I don't recall. But we moved our studios from the YMCA a number of years ago to the location where we are now. We had our transmitter at this point in the early days, and subsequently built additional building and property to accommodate our business enterprise. But our home for many years was in the YMCA. We first had one room, then we took over another room as a reception room, and then we took over another couple of rooms, which became a studio. Then we took over more rooms, most of which were back in the early days, just about the time Youngstown College was started. We had a number of rooms on the third floor eventually and conducted a business enterprise there, which we had to cease in a sense because the YMCA was an eleemosynary institution and we were a commercial enterprise, and the commercial enterprise didn't belong in that kind of an institution. And that was the reason why we moved from the studio and became an entity of our own on our own property at on Sunset Boulevard, where we're located today. Radio, of course, developed in the course of the time. We had the CBS network. We later added with the development of time, FM broadcasting, frequency modulation with our radio. This went through the stages of development and expansion, as did the radio operation, which was on 570 KC, where it is today. And subsequent to this, in the course of time and the development of the industry, we went into television, and we have pioneered, or did pioneer, radio, FM, and television in our community. And as a matter of fact, we're, I think, the first, I guess I better not claim that.
Did you ever, when you were running the radio station like in the 30s and the 40s, did you ever envision a media like television as developing?
Well, people don't seem to understand how these things come about. To my recollection, radio broadcasting came about because of the developments that were made in the early days of World War I. And as you can understand, when you're in a war, government spends money for the development of things, and much more so than private enterprise could put together, so that you have laboratory developments that take maybe a generation to absorb, for the public to absorb them. Broadcasting came out of World War I, and I believe this is the first broadcast. We're in the trenches of World War I, where the first transmission of voice was. It may have been experimental work earlier than that, but I believe this is true. There were pioneers in the broadcasting business. KDKA was one of the earlier pioneers. There is some question that WWJ of Detroit may have been a day or so earlier, but at least KDKA seems to be given the credit for the pioneer in the broadcasting field. Networks developed because of the need for programming internationally and otherwise, and the need for news and the public acceptance and of it all. Out of this and the development of FM broadcasting, which took many years for frequency modulation to develop, there there were many things that the industry had to develop in order to make it an acceptable broadcast medium. Frequency modulation today is probably one of the most acceptable mediums with the quality of programming that it provides, even more so than what we might today call AM radio or the old broadcast radio. Coming into World War II, we come into the next development, and here again government spends endless funds in laboratory development. And out of this came television, and since that time we have had the development of television in monochrome or black and white, and in the most recent years it has been a development of color television. And certainly there is further development to be made and perfection of equipment to be done, and one of the difficulties for an operator is to be able to maintain modern equipment which antiquates itself in very short periods. Perhaps we might buy a piece of equipment that is antiquated in the course of a few months, so that you are forever and changing and rebuilding and improving. And there seems to be no end to it. And where it stops, your guess is as good as mine.
In the late 30s and 40s, was your programming basically records or more network shows? Or
now you're asking me 30s and 40s, and I'm going back to radio. In those days, our programming locally, well, we had about 60% was from the Columbia Network, the CBS network, which would have been network programming. And about 40% of it had to do with local programming, which had to do with the broadcasts of orchestras or records or interviews or piano recitals or various things of that nature, or well, it's hard for me to spell out the particular kind of programming that we had, but those would be the fields of programming that we used.
Mm-hmm. We're on your station, through news reporting or
Walter Lee Kaufman was the first announcer we had, other than the announcing that went on at the time that we were developing the station, which was just a miscellaneous announcing of myself or Mr. Corpenning. Gene Murphy was a tenor who sang for us in the living room of my home.
I mean, more or less people that were with you quite a long time, on the air.
Well, we have some of our earliest people still with us. Lothair Bowden was our station manager and was the announcer back in the early days. Lothair was a teacher at Princeton School, and he gave up his teaching profession to join WKBN at the time as the station announcer. Don Gardner, who's currently with us, was also a Latin teacher, I believe, at Princeton School. He's been our sports director over the years and is still with us. Lothair Bowden, of course, is deceased a number of years ago. When you speak of, I'm afraid I don't recall too many of the old timers. I'd have to research that back there. See, in September of this year, we will have been 50 years in the business. My memory going back 50 years is pretty poor.
It's a It's amazing, though, that the station has, you know, stood strong for all those years and provided such entertainment. Have you basically been very much satisfied with your 50 years of providing this public service to the country?
Well, I've been a very fortunate man in the sense that what was a hobby of a boy in his early lifetime, which was wireless, and this goes back to about 1912 when I dabbled in wireless communication, and then became an amateur in the years before World War I, and had to disband my amateur radio work because of the war and the orders of the federal government. It's been a very satisfying thing to me to grow up with an industry at the same time that the industry was developing, so that a young man's hobby became a business venture and has grown and developed as the industry and the business of broadcasting has been perfected.
Has the radio station that tries to become a radio station today, start from scratch, would it be facing the same obstacles as you face?
Well, obstacles, what do we mean when we say obstacle? If you wanted to go into the broadcasting business today, you would have to go to the FCC and ask for a license. Most of the frequencies that are used for broadcasting have already been occupied by other people, and unfortunately, there is a limitation to the frequencies that can be used for broadcasting, and they are already assigned by the Federal Communications Commission. In the early days, we went into the business in substance before the FCC became, or the Federal Communication Commission became, an entity in federal government. At the time we went into it, as I recall, the Commerce Department was the department of government that controlled broadcasting stations, and in those days getting a license was a very simple thing, an application to government, and it was issued. Today it wouldn't be as simple as that. Of course, we have occupied what we were able to get at that time and have developed it, and with the development of frequency modulation and of television broadcasting, we have pioneered in this field in our community, and pioneering means that we got in the early days, and when these facilities were available, and they're not available anymore.
Looking back on KBN's history with some hindsight, is there anything you would have done differently if you...
Well...
I mean, as far as the station and, you know.
Yes, there are a lot of things. As I look back over the years, there are many things that we could have done in the early days that would have saved us a lot of problems in the course of events. One particular thing I'm thinking of is the fact that WKBN in its early days operated on a 570 kilocycle frequency, and we operated two-thirds of the time here in Youngstown on a very odd schedule of times on the air, and the other side of the channel, the other one-third of the time, was in Columbus, Ohio, operated by Ohio State University. We had problems in maintaining listeners because of the on-the-air, off-the-air schedule of affairs that we had. And as I recall, it took me 15 years to solve the problem of the divided time that we had been assigned. And this only came about by many hearings before the Federal Communication Commission and the support of the community who were behind us. We were able to eventually solve the problem of the divided time operation to where WKBN became a full-time station. Had we known earlier in the business, we might well have had the full-time operation without all of the years of trial and effort before the FCC. So that might be the only thing or the outstanding thing that I could think of here. We, in the early days, had a divided time operation. When we went to the FCC after they had been departmentalized by the federal government, we went to them and asked for a full-time station. As a matter of fact, we referred to WMBW, which was then a station that had ceased broadcasting. We went to the commission and said to the commission, now here's the license for this station, but we would like to have a full-time station in Youngstown, and we'll turn this license back to you, and you can give it to somebody else. She'll give us full-time. Well, the commission didn't do what we had hoped that they would do, and it was only after the 15 years of trial before the commission and our efforts and the efforts of the public in support of us that we were able to get to WKBN as a full-time assignment in Youngstown. WKBN is fortunate in the fact that it has a frequency that is a very efficient frequency for the transmission of sound, and it operates on a regional channel rather than a local channel. We felt that if we were going to bring something to Youngstown, as we tried, that we would not be satisfied with a local channel operation. And we wanted a regional channel, and we felt that Youngstown was justified in expecting that sort of thing, and this is what we pursued and eventually were able to get.
One last question, sir. Is there any one particular thing or just any general thing that you're most proud of that you've accomplished?
Well, I don't think that there's anything particularly outstanding that we have. We think we are competent in the field. We think that we have a staff of people here who are as alert and interested as any station has. We are proud of the fact that we have pioneered in radio in the early days with its development. We're proud of the fact we pioneered in FM broadcasting, which is now we call Stereo 99. We're proud of the fact that we again pioneered and we're the first station in television in Youngstown. These are pioneering things that come about because of the fact that, we are in the business of broadcasting for the love of broadcasting, and I guess that's the only thing I think of at the moment, at least. If I research it, I might find other things.
Thank you very much, sir, and it's been very much good pleasure talking to you, and may good luck in all your endeavors, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you, young man. I hope you are able to use this well, what would we call it anyway? An interview on radio broadcasting.